Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, another great week on Hawaii for golf in paradise, where our boy Kevin Na-na-na-na was walking in putts left and right. We get into that and much more in golf. Plus, what we're tuned into outside of sports includes a really cool throwback vibe from the 90s for our music lovers out there. And this week's guest is a great music voice as well. You hear him on iHeartRadio and the iconic Z100 in New York City. It's Maxwell joining us to talk music, radio, some of his most notable interviews, and a whole lot more. Plus, we're finishing with some NFL playoff talk and our January diet updates. All of it brought to you by our friends at Active Body. And Mike, I know it's an uphill climb to get you to do any sort of exercise, but what if I told you that the Active 5 unit has workouts that you could do while you're sitting down?
That just makes it all the more appealing.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a workout for every part of your body on the Active 5 unit, and that's what's great about Active Body. I use it for 5 to 10 minutes a day. There are workouts that have you involved in standing up and stretching in all directions, and there's some where you're just using the force of your arm and leg muscles. You can even do them sitting down to create a quick workout environment for yourself. It's portable, it's on the go. It's the Active 5 unit. Our promo code with Active Body is COL for 20% off. Again, COL for 20% off the Active 5 unit at activebody.com.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Groove It Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, putts were rolling in all over the place in Hawaii this weekend.
Yes.
And they were being followed by Kevin Na, who was able to birdie 18 on Sunday and secure himself a win.
Yeah, stole the show there. Our boy Kevin Na, who I feel like has been kind of a bit of a theme on this podcast for no real great reason, but he's now won 4 seasons in a row on tour.
He's, impressive. Certainly one of our favorite players on tour. I think he's, at least for me, he's one of my favorite players on tour. And I feel like last year, this time of year, around, you know, January, early part of the season, we were saying, Kevin Na, he's looking good. This could be his year. And then Corona happened.
I know.
I'm going to say it again. He's looking good. This could be his year.
And I feel like we always say it like a month or so before a major. So I get that little kick in my brain thinking I should bet him at 150-1 to win like the Masters or something like that. And that never comes to fruition. But nonetheless, Kevin Na gets it done for his 5th tour victory. Just an incredibly consistent mark over the last few years for him. It's great to see him walking in putts. And the one thought that I'm left with as golf media kind of talks about this victory, Mike, is how about Kevin Na in a Ryder Cup or President's Cup soon? That has not happened in his entire career at the age of 37 now. He could be a good value add to a Team USA soon.
Yeah, I feel like this is the year that you put him on the team. He's obviously got his game going in the right direction, winning the last couple of years on tour. He's been on tour for 18 years. He said it himself during the interview on the 18th green. He's been doing this for 18 years. It's finally all starting to click and get together for him. And he's playing pretty well. He's figured it out. So, yeah, I think his energy, and especially once he gets that ball rolling, guys are going to feed off him. I mean, we saw what Tiger did with Kevin Na at the Players a couple of years ago. So this is
right.
You know,
that was a nice relationship there.
Yeah, he can help lift the team up, and I think help provide a lot of positivity to the team as well.
Yeah, he came in as a bit of a spoiler this weekend because we had some pretty impressive picks. I'm at Twitter at Course of Life 1 and you're at MWRINC. You hopped in to the betting pool starting this past week. Mm-hmm. And you had a couple guys that were sniffing around the lead heading into Sunday in Webb Simpson and Colin Morikawa, and none of them could just get the finish they needed to on Sunday to help you over the top.
Yeah, when we got into Friday night, Saturday morning, it was looking pretty good for kind of all our picks there. And just didn't turn into it. Webb Simpson, though, still top 5 finish.
He's always there. It's just disgusting how many top 5 and 10 paychecks he's had in the last like 6 to 12 months. The guy is just an ATM right now. He's taking over Kuchar's title of the ATM of the PGA Tour, yeah. I think.
I mean, the Webb Simpson right now, he's always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Yes, indeed. So he came up short. Morikawa came up a few short as well. Impressive weeks for them. Nice week for Kevin Na. A couple other things we want to get to because we love profiling the rest of golf. You know, we talk to a lot of journeymen and guys that are just trying to make it and get certain status on certain tours and work their way up to the tour. So we have to highlight a couple stories. The first one being a Monday qualifier. Our friend Ryan French at Monday Qualifier Info on Twitter loves this. It was Nick Hardy this week, Mike. He Monday qualified out in Hawaii for the Sony Open, made the cut with some late birdies on Friday, and then finishes with a top 15 finish, his best finish on the PGA Tour. Really good to see guys like that get their opportunity and make the most of it.
Yeah, you know, this is one of the great things about the game is that you just need to have a good weekend and you can possibly win, or you can just have the weekend of your career. So to see someone be able to get that Monday Q in and then finish top 15, that's pretty amazing.
It is. And the other one we have to highlight is Chris Kirk. This is a guy who has gone through a lot of issues off the course. He has battled with some alcoholism. Some depression. He's had some substance abuse issues over the past several years. As a result, he had a major medical exemption, which is basically a pause on his PGA Tour status for that extended period of time. Well, he got well, he got better. And now as of last week's top five finish, he has now secured status again for him to continue playing on the PGA Tour. So great to see that comeback story from Chris Kirk as well, too. The things we like highlighting outside of the guys that take home the big money and the trophies on the PGA Tour weekly.
Mm-hmm. And I think especially, you know, we talk about how golf is, you've heard all the time, golf is played between the ears more than it is actually on the course. So to be able to overcome your own personal demons and everything and still go out there and play, I think it's always inspirational.
That's right. So shout out to Nick Hardy and Chris Kirk. Great stories there. Let's talk quickly about the vibes before we get to headlines and next week. It was great to see the surfers being featured prominently on the broadcast. At one point, I thought I was actually watching a surfing tournament with a side of golf. There was that much action on the waves, but I'm never against a nice beach waves, you know, sleep sounds, crashing water noise, right? That's good for everybody.
It's always good. It's very soothing.
Yes, and then Davis Love III also fishing after he missed the cut. They had the cameras rolling on him. He clearly didn't seem too phased at this point in his career. Mike, I think if you were Davis Love III and you had the golf career that you did, I think you'd be all right with a missed cut in Hawaii to spend a little extra time fishing on the water too as well. So I'm glad they got to highlight the important things.
I mean, it's a business expense to get there and stay there. And then if you're not going to keep playing, you might as well take advantage of your business expenses.
The amenities, right? You know, while you're there.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah,
you might exactly. Let's get into a headline that dropped this week, which is garnering a lot of attention. Of course, we all know that Justin Thomas dropped a pretty inappropriate racial slur during last weekend's Century Tournament of Champions. And over the course of the week, Ralph Lauren Polo decided to drop him. How surprising is it that a company that is known for sweatshops in third world countries is dropping one of the best golfers in the world for using an inappropriate word?
Yeah, I'm glad you got to step two of this conversation because that is worth looking into. Thank you for still skipping over the obvious facts. So yeah, obviously Polo Ralph Lauren just trying to kind of like save a little face and try and look like you know the overarching, you know, bigger person here and dropping JT. But there's definitely some questions as to where that is all coming from. It was a headline that hit hard. I'm surprised. So JT's been on vacation this past week with his girlfriend. I saw on Instagram. So I'm thinking this week we're gonna get a full statement from him. I think we're going to get the apology tour. I'm curious to see how that plays out over the course of the weekend because Justin Thomas really hasn't had to deal with a PR situation quite like this in his career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, here's what I thought was interesting is there was a tweet I saw the other day that was saying that if you mic'd up all the players on tour, you'd be hearing a lot of inappropriate words when they're missing shots. And we do hear it a lot anyway on tour. Yes. I think a lot of times they're just aware that there might be a camera nearby and some of the big guys are just better at keeping it, not saying it out loud. So, and I mean, when I've never used that word when I'm on a course, but I'm certainly swearing at myself or, you know, slapping my back with my iron or putter when I'm really mad at myself. So
yeah, we don't like that particular F word that was said by Justin Thomas, but the other one, unfortunately, does slip in the heat of the moment. I'd be lying if I said I hadn't thrown one out on the golf course. So yeah, it's like, it's one of those things where like, it's not great to hear from Justin Thomas. I'm glad he's going to be apologetic and he's already taking that route. I know he's going to because he's that kind of person. However, we got to look at a bigger sample size here and realize this is something that's pretty ubiquitous, this type of language. So the mics are always hot, Mike. The mics are always hot. You just got to watch out if there's these players, and you got to be more diligent out of the course.
Yeah. And really the lesson here for Ralph Lauren is maybe try growing with dropping Justin Thomas too, if that's what you're going to do. And, start raising your own standards on what is appropriate.
We could all grow together. Maybe this is an opportunity for everyone to grow and not just for everyone to point fingers. How about that?
Yeah. Let's get into what's going on this weekend. It is the tournament formerly known as Bob Hope Classic. Now, of course, the American Express being played over at PGA West and the stadium course. Still got good fields. I feel like we're getting good fields all the time right now. So
definitely. Yeah. I noticed they made an announcement that Pebble Beach is not going to do the amateur side of their pro-am. So that field might get better too, as a result, because there's a lot of pros that don't necessarily want to deal with that distraction and want to actually play Pebble in a tournament. So there's definitely some encouraging signs for these winter venues, looking at Torrey Waste Management's going to experiment with a small amount of fans. So we're going to get a try run on how that goes in a few weeks. So there's definitely a lot of headlines starting with this week, Mike, and you mentioned it. Brooks Koepka, John Rahm, Patrick Reed, a bunch of other guys are all in the field here. It should be a sneaky good week to watch some golf. Our former guest Trent Feltz, if you want to check podcast archives, played this course. Follow him on Instagram, tfeltzgolf, and enjoyed a round out there as well. So I'm looking forward to the coverage.
Yeah, it's early in the week right now, but who do you got? You got a podcast exclusive pick that you want to share?
I do. Yeah. So Full Card will be at Course of Life One. You and I will convene on there Wednesday evening and decide what direction you want to go in for your picks this week. But I'm going to throw a guy on there that kind of snuck onto the leaderboard a little bit. Patton Kizzire had a couple of bomb birdie putts on Sunday at Wailea, and I'm looking to see if he can maybe carry that momentum over to next week. So we'll see what kind of odds we get on him. But that's a guy to watch on my list. Again, my full card is going to be at Course of Life One on Twitter for my picks to win this week at the American Express.
And then I'll throw a couple out there too, just because I don't know what I'm doing and I'm just trying to get into the party. So
the game deceivingly close for week one, Mike. You almost had that major league debut walk off home run there. You almost had that moment.
should I be that guy this year though? And every week should I pick for the previous week's champ to repeat? So should I pick Kevin Na again, or do we think that's should I just stop that right now?
You're basically rolling. That's called the Brendan Todd trend, because you remember he did that about a year or so ago. He did go back to back. So you would have been filthy rich off that. So if you want to give it a try, you can. It's up to you. We'll discuss later this week on Twitter.
We will. Let's turn over to what we're tuned into outside of the world of sports and what we're turning our TVs or radios or phones or podcasts. Yeah. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're tuning into.
There's a lot going on outside the world of sports. I'm going to let you go first because I got something that ties in very nicely to this week's guest. So what are you currently tuned into right now? What are you watching?
Well, I certainly still need some escape from reality, because I think we can all agree that reality right now is just it's just a little batshit crazy.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So I've decided to I'm rewatching right now because we just got HBO Max. So I'm rewatching Westworld. So talk about batshit crazy stuff going on. Westworld, batshit crazy.
Yeah, so when you do a rewatch, what do you like to kind of focus on? Are you more kind of like looking for like certain moments in each episode? Are you kind of looking to read into dialogue a little bit more deeper and find out more about certain characters? What do you look for in a rewatch?
So in Westworld, because it's the season one, all the seasons really play a lot with time, and there's big twists that come at the end. I'm trying this rewatch. This is my first full rewatch of season one, at least, and will be my first rewatch of season two, is to try to really pick up the hints of the giveaways, because they're dropped there throughout, and so to find those, which we actually just discovered when we watched this last episode. We watched episode 8, I think it was, just recently, of 10 episodes, to pick something up and go like, hey, that was a huge giveaway that none of us noticed. So
like that, keeping the brain sharp, you're a step ahead of everyone else.
What you got? I know there's something coming up this week that made you turn back to something from the 90s.
It's that reality that we're talking about. Fortunately, I'm thinking, and hopefully there's a little bit of unity coming from this upcoming week for everyone, no matter where you sit. We do have that inauguration event this Wednesday that's obviously going to be very talked about and very much in the news. But one headline that I gleaned from this, which is extremely exciting, and I know a lot of people can get on board with, If you grew up in the 90s or you love 90s music or you just love that late 90s pop feel, look no further than Wednesday's inauguration. A favorite band of mine, Mike. I sent you the music video before we hopped on. The New Radicals. This is a classic late 90s band. They only put out one album. My dad gave me the CD and I still have it to this day. The New Radicals, You Get What You Give. This band is going to reunite for the first time in over two decades to play that hit song because it is the walk-up music for... Like, what's our nickname for Doug now? Kamala Harris's husband, Mike. This has been big in the debate.
He's the second husband.
The second dude is what I've heard a lot.
Second gentleman,
whatever you want to call it. It's his walk-up music. So New Radicals having a 90s pop music reunion to play You Get What You Give live for the first time in over two decades. I'm going to be tuned in on Wednesday for that moment specifically.
That'll be great.
Great song. If you haven't watched the music video too.
As soon as it came back on, I don't remember the name of the bands. I hardly remember the name of the songs, but as soon as I started listening to that song, within a split second, it's like, oh yeah, I know this song. This song's great.
It's one of those like hits you in the feel song. So take a look at the music video for the New Radicals. You Get What You Give and get pumped for that performance, which is definitely going to circulate the internet later this week. Watch on Wednesday and Thursday. Twitter's going to be like, oh my God, I totally forgot about this song. This is so great. Where are they? I'm like, well, you don't want to look into why that band quit, but it's good to have them back nonetheless.
That's right. Let's change gears, Alex. Do you remember back in the day when we actually played music on a radio program? Because we did this.
Yes, we're now deep into our 30s, and that was back when we were teenagers, Mike.
Yeah. This was back when we first got started at Quinnipiac University's WQAQ radio.
91.1, shout out.
Yeah. Shout out to them. And so this week you reached out, you got in touch with another radio DJ, Maxwell, from a station that has a little bit of a bigger reach than what we had at QAQ, Z100 in New York City.
Yeah, the iconic Z100. This is basically like the official, essentially top 40 radio station of iHeartRadio, broadcasting from the top of the Empire State Building, one of the biggest signals in the country. They put on the Jingle Ball every year in New York and lots of different concerts throughout the year. And Maxwell is a staple there. I've listened to him for years on the radio. He's got an awesome radio delivery, which I know you love hearing his DJ delivery. He talks about some cool interviews. Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez, all sorts of huge megastar names brought up in this interview that I never thought I'd get to talk about. But here we are in a great conversation with Maxwell indeed.
And we will get to that conversation in just a moment. But first, as always, we want to let you know about our friends at Groove It Golf, makers of the Groove It Golf Brush. New Year's resolution, Alex, keep your club face clean.
Yes.
In 2021. You need those grooves to give you consistency and control, and the Groove It Golf Brush will do that for you. It's got a built-in pump that sprays water cleaning solution right onto the club face. It's got detachable magnets, so you can pop it off the bag, bring the brush to the club instead of the club to the brush. Plus, it's got a 3-year bristle guarantee. If you can wear out the brush head cleaning your clubs in 3 years, send it back. Groove It will give you a free replacement. So using the Groove It, you'll get the spin, trajectory, and consistency you're looking for. So head on over to grooveitbrush.com and get your Groove It brush today.
Next up from New York City, we've got a voice who a lot of you out there will definitely recognize. He's a radio DJ and personality that can be heard around the world on the iconic Z100 and iHeartRadio broadcasts all over the place. It's Maxwell joining the Course of Life. Maxwell, how are we doing today?
What's up, Alex? That's kind of cool to hear all those things that I do because I'm just like a regular ass dude. Thank you, bro.
Definitely, man. It's almost like I said before we hopped on, I feel like we kind of go way back. I've never met you, but I've spent so much time with you, you know, Saturday nights and whatnot on the radio and TV and all the iHeart work that you've done over the years. What's that like kind of knowing that you have that like semi kind of anonymous connection to like millions of different people that have listened to you over the years?
It's so weird. I've got to be totally honest with you because, you know, for the most part, it is an audio medium, you know, when we're talking radio. But as we go back, you and I's kind of, you know, distant friendship relationship, our listenership, it's, you've been a part of the evolution of it becoming more social media driven, more multimedia driven. So I can still navigate kind of like a Ninja Turtle, you know what I'm saying, under the, you know, underground of the sewers. But then as we started to really kind of get involved and adapt these different forms of Skypes and you know, and Instagram, Twitter, all the different social media platforms, it's kind of weird to think that, like, yeah, man, like, people know who I am in parts of the world that I've yet to visit. So that's kind of cool, dude. It's mind blowing, but it's really cool.
Definitely. I'm listening from Austin, Texas, on the iHeartRadio app all the time, and have loved following your career over the years. Our genesis for our podcast specifically, with myself and my co-host, who's not on today, but we're radio guys. We turned to each other freshman year in college and lived one dorm away and said, hey, you want to hop on the radio and, you know, just talk sports and play the music we like. And it's grown to what we're doing now with the podcast. What were your first memories of, like, radio, and when did that radio dream begin for you?
Wow, dude, my first memories of radio really go back to when I was, like, listening as a kid growing up in San Diego. It's funny because I just recently, you just really kind of blew my mind with this question, because I just recently, sitting at home on YouTube watching, you know, a bunch of videos, and I stumbled across a whole bunch of video air checks from jocks from back in the day. Like, there's just so many of those different iconic DJs who I remember growing up listening to when I was younger. You know, there's people I remember being a part of, Big Boy's first listenership when he was with Power 106 in LA.
Love that.
And, you know, other, yeah, dude, other DJs. I think there's a dude named like Theo who was on the air on Power 106 that I used to be able to hear from San Diego. And there was like JoJo Kicking Kincaid. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many of those dudes that I remember being a kid kind of listening to vaguely, and then always being interested in it, but really not fully grasping the whole concept of it actually being like a career that I could really follow or thrive in until I was in college, you know. So you know, it's a two-parter answer to your question. Like you, I mean, I was a college dude who kind of was like, all right, I like this radio thing that's happening. I went to school in Central California, at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I played college football, believe it or not. I'm a small dude. I mean, I'm not the biggest dude out there.
What position did you play in college?
I played wide receiver. I was, nice. You know, I was like a slot, you know, slot back, slot wide receiver. I was a, you know, short, shifty kind of a dude. But then I realized that the NFL wasn't looking for a 5'7", 165 pound, you know, wide receiver. So I better think of a different career path. And then I kind of started to fall back on like some of those ideas of, man, I really love music. I loved the idea of entertaining, and I loved the feeling that I got when I listened to radio as a kid. There was a buddy on the football team with me who actually was on the local radio station in San Luis Obispo, and I kind of bugged him for a bit to get a meeting with his program director. And, you know, and as they say, the rest is history, man. I mean, it just was really kind of that. Listening was, as a kid, being infatuated by the idea of making people move, and then just kind of having that carry through to when I was actually able to hop on the mic for the first time on a commercial radio station in San Luis Obispo, California, you know, some 20 years later.
Very cool. Awesome path. Let's talk about kind of that path in radio and how that works. I went to school kind of in that realm for broadcasting and journalism. I know there's tons of movement, you know, city to city, yep, market to market when you're young, starting out. I know the first spot where I kind of saw you land on a big stage was Q102 in Philly, but just talk a little bit about the movement in the industry and maybe the different spots you were and kind of what that path was like to get you to Q102 eventually.
Yeah, that was big for me. So I did start radio, like I said, in San Luis Obispo, California. I don't even know if there was a market size. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it just really was like the opportunity to get my start there. And from there, I was on the radio there for like, I think, 2 years. I started at a station, the call letters at the time, I think was, or they were KWWV. And I was like the night jock on the station. And I moved, as they say, like in the business, doing air quotes here, like across the street to the competition radio station shortly thereafter to host mornings on a top 40 station, KSLY, KSLY, Sly 96. So I did mornings there for a little bit. And I think it was when I went to a morning show boot camp. I don't know if you've heard of the conference. It's something that I think has really gone virtual now since we're in this crazy COVID world. But at the time, you know, it was a conference that happened where morning show people and personalities would, you know, get together annually and just kind of have this 3-day conference. So I took the leap and I took a drive down the coast and was down in LA at the Beverly. I'm never going to forget this, man, the Beverly Hotel. And during one of the cocktail hours, I had a CD, like an air check, you know, highlight CD that I had when CDs were a thing that I was going to bring to my uncle because I was crashing at his place while I was going to this conference. But at the cocktail, you know, the hour that we had during this morning show boot camp, I met Mike Kaplan, who was a program director at the time for V97 in New Orleans. And we were just hanging out, talking, and he was like, yo, like, you don't have any stuff, any audio or anything, right? You know, I don't know who you are, but, you know, what's the deal? I'm thinking about starting a new morning show in New Orleans. So I ran to my car. I grabbed the CD that I was supposed to give to my uncle.
It's like, I got the CD right here for you, actually, Mike. Thanks.
Yeah, like, really, it was like one of those kind of things. It was really random. And, you know, fast forward to, you know, maybe about 3 months later, he was like, look, I want to bring you out to New Orleans to host mornings with a couple of people that I have on the staff. So, yeah, so I went from San Luis Obispo to doing mornings in New Orleans, was there for a little bit before I moved over to do nights and really started getting into the programming world at, KSMB in Lafayette, Louisiana, about 2 hours west. Hung out there, did nights, and became the APD and the music director at that station for about 2 years. Shot up from there because a buddy of mine who I was working records with, or who was one of the record label reps in the region, had a buddy that was programming WNCI in Columbus. And they were looking for a new night job. And I just so happened to be that guy that fit the mold. So I shot from Lafayette to Columbus, Ohio. Hung out there for about another 2 or 3 years. And I was unfortunately one of the, I guess, things that a lot of radio people kind of went through in 2008 was, you know, when the market was crashing,
right?
When, you know, jobs were, I was a part of that cutback. I was a part of that, hey man, your job is gone. Kind of similar to what a lot of my colleagues are dealing with now, unfortunately, you know, with this whole 2020 and 2021 being just such a shit show, pardon the language.
All good, but, yeah.
I was on the beach for about, you know, I was chilling for, you know, a good like 7 or 8 months, collecting unemployment and working locally in Columbus, Ohio, just with the news stations and really starting to kind of do a little bit more in front of the camera stuff as a news reporter or as kind of like an entertainment reporter for some of the local news stations and some of the local, just because I had such a firm grip on the pop culture scene in Columbus, Ohio. And after, you know, doing that and floating around for a little bit, you know, I really had that call that changed my life. It was when I had the chance to talk to Romeo, to hop on the phone with Romeo when he got the job to program Q102 in Philly. And it was just like the coolest combo because I quite literally was in New Orleans just visiting family and friends. It was Mardi Gras. I had a giant daiquiri in my hand getting wasted. And I get this phone call from Romeo. You know, and I'm thinking, holy crap, this is like a radio icon to me.
Yeah.
Someone who I've always looked up to. And to have a conversation on the phone with him, and he was just like, dude, you're in New Orleans, Mardi Gras? He's like, dude, what the hell? Hang up the phone with me and go party, dude. We'll talk another day. And I'm thinking to myself, like, what did I just, destroy an opportunity? He called me a couple of days later and offered me the job to be a member of the Q102 squad. And that's where Saturday Night Online started. That's where we really saw my career kind of take off. And, you know, to fast forward even further and to wrap up this little bit of my, you know, radio journey.
Love that. California, Louisiana, yeah, Ohio. I'm counting all the states right now.
Yeah, I definitely have lived, as you said. It's one of those go where the gig is. And it landed me. And once I got to Philly, I kind of knew that, listen, Z100 is right over there. This is where I've always wanted to be. This is what I want to go for. And I was lucky enough to learn from someone like Romeo, along with all the other program directors that I learned from. But I learned a lot at Q102 that landed me the opportunity to be here hanging out and doing what I love to do on the biggest radio station in the world, you know?
Absolutely. I love that context. And so you dated yourself a little bit with the CD samples that you gave to the boss. I'm going to date myself with the Saturday Night Online references, that show that you referenced that you started hosting, essentially the Saturday Night Radio party show that kind of went through the entire social revolution, like you talked about at the top with Romeo, back when it was the Twitter mix and not the TikTok mix, back when you guys had a Ustream chat room. These are apps that a lot of the youngins might not even know right now. That's how fast things move. But just tell me about the origins of that show and kind of I just want to reminisce as a fan really on the beginnings and how that show kind of got going with you and Romeo hosting.
I'll tell you, Romeo is the genius behind it all. He saw something years before anyone else did. And I remember the very first kind of mission statement of the show was, music is global. We understand that there are fans of a lot of these artists that we play and some that we don't get the opportunity to really play on a top 40 radio station here in the States, but we know that they have fans everywhere. If they're going to go somewhere to find this content, why not make it here, our show? Why not make it Saturday Night Online Live? Like, why should we allow them to play in somebody else's sandbox and not ours for the direct connect access to the artists, for the opportunity to hear, their favorite up and coming artist song on a radio station and not just on some sort of a streaming platform, for us to be able to do in real time, like you said, when we're doing Twitter mixes, you know, it's like, hey, how do we utilize these platforms and connect with these fans globally and allow them to come and be a part of our party instead of searching somewhere else? We wanted to, you know, create a one-stop shop for everything that these fans were yearning for from their favorite celebs. And that was what it was. So I was just fortunate to be a part of the beginning stages of all that. I mean, I remember we used to have a light bright map on the wall where we would plug in the little, you know, little pins, push pins, when we got a new city that was going to be picking up the radio show as, a syndication partner. Yeah. And I remember one of the first celebrities that came into the studio and sat in live with us to do the interview was Ed Sheeran. And I'm not going to ever forget this. And he looked at this map that we had, and there was only about 12 pins in this map. And he was like, holy crap. Like, you guys are on all of these stations? And we were like, yeah. But now you fast forward to where the show is and how it's evolved to Most Requested Live and, you know, over 160, 170 something radio stations across the globe. I mean, it's just like, wow. So, you know, I got to give it all up to Romeo. I mean, that dude was light years beyond. He's you know, gosh, man, he's the Yoda. You know what I'm saying? He knew it.
Love that. Great. Shout out to Romeo as well, too. He does a great job hosting in addition to yourself, the brains behind it all. It's now Most Requested Live on every Saturday night on, like you said, 160, 170 different iHeart radio stations. So definitely tune in. I love that you guys play the most requested songs. And it's really cool to kind of see the pulse of where the fans are, which is what you guys do on that show. Talk to everyone who doesn't know about like the ravage and the power of the fans on social media. I see when you guys throw a tweet out, hey, just a real casual treat. What song do you guys want to request? Explosions everywhere on social media from different fan bases around the world. How virtual is that right now?
It's everything. I mean, like I was saying, you know, the most important thing that we can do is service the fans. You know, without those fans, the artists don't get the success that they have. And without them being able to really, support those artists in that way. And now when everyone is less than 6 degrees of separation, just through our cell phone and social media and other platforms, we've always with this show wanted to be that place for everyone to go. I mean, it was just such a thrill in the beginning stages of the show to watch the number one trend global be something like One Direction on SNOL,
right?
Or for us to see something like Romeo play fill in the blank song to be the top trending thing on Twitter in a country like, gosh, man, in Italy, in Malaysia, in South America, in cities like Brazil, you know, places where fans are tapping in. We just wanted to be able to be that place for them to support their favorite celebs and, you know, and just really be that, again, like I said, that one-stop shop for them to get the the artist interview content that they don't get elsewhere, for them to be able to show their love and support, for everyone to have a stadium to show up in and root their favorite team on. Let's make it our home stadium and not someone else's, you know? So it's really such an amazing thing. And it's a crazy rush of adrenaline when you see that alert pop up. And I remember every weekend we would get so stoked. Oh, we're trending number one now in Tokyo. Like who does that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, are you kidding me? You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to those K-pop fans too. They go hard.
Yeah.
In a real special way.
All the fans. I mean, it just was like so cool. It was so amazing for us to see artists. Like, I remember early artists, like, you know, being there for the beginning stages of artists like Austin Mahone and Cody Simpson. And when Zendaya was popping off her music career, like the only place that you could go to get an interview, to request her song, to hear her song was on a Saturday Night Online Live or a Most Requested Live radio show. And we really wanted to be that for the fans because we knew that those fans deserved it.
Love that. Let's talk about some of the interviews that you've done. Again, it's in Maxwell's house on IG, talking with Maxwell here with iHeartRadio. You've talked to a lot of different people in pop music, pretty much everyone under the sun in your years of experience. We've seen you at the Z100 Jingle Ball and Wango Tango and all that sorts of stuff for iHeart. Let's get into a few different notable people that you've interviewed, though. You do a real great job kind of opening your guests up, and they feel very comfortable around you. So that compliment goes to you, notably in your interviews with Selena Gomez. Tell me a little bit about your relationship with Selena and how far back you guys go.
Oh man, gosh, I'm so glad that you ask about her because she is one of the most genuine people that I have the utmost respect for, reverence for. She is the most passionate person when it comes to giving, you know, as much as she physically and emotionally can through her music and just through a lot of the different endeavors that she has. And I remember one of the first interviews that I had with Selena was, believe it or not, I think I found the audio while I was sitting around my house going through a bunch of crap, and the video too during this quarantine.
Nice.
Was when she was invited, and we had her while I was working at Q102 in Philadelphia at her very first Jingle Ball. I mean, it was like crazy. I'm sitting down on the couch having an interview with Selena, and I found this video, and she was like, my gosh, this is like so exciting to me. This is like my very first Jingle Ball that I've ever done. And I was like, holy, I mean, just now after watching this video, thinking like, man, this is something that's so cool. So our friendship goes back then. And, you know, I really just always with her, with any other artist that I get the chance to talk to, is approach it. I mean, they're a buddy of mine. They're a friend of mine. They're somebody who I respect. And, you know, I try not to, you know, I try not to lose sight of that. I mean, they're a human just like I am. And if I could, you know, put them in a place, or if they can be in a position where they just feel comfortable and not bombarded or not, you know, ganged upon, or, you know, I'm not the Barbara Walters of radio. I'm not trying to be, you know, anyone other than myself. You know, right. I just want to treat the person who's sitting aside from me, or sitting across from me, excuse me, as just a genuine, regular human being. And I find by having those kind of conversations, that's where I'm able to get the most information from that person, whether it's Selena Gomez, Ed Sheeran, Justin Bieber, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry. I mean, and another thing that I never forget is that it's a very small industry. It's a very small world. And I'm going to see these people. I would hope to see these people and be able to have more interviews with these artists again. So the last thing that I want to do is to ever put them in a position where they feel uncomfortable sitting across from me, because then it's just going to make that ask a lot more difficult when I want to get the chance to talk to Harry Styles about his brand new album that's coming out again, because he's going to remember, you know what? I don't want to sit across from Maxwell, because he's that dude that kept on asking me about a 1D reunion and how I really feel about, you know, Zayn not being a part of the group anymore. I'm not that guy. You know what I mean? And it's just not fair for me to put them in a position that makes them feel anything less than comfortable.
I appreciate that. So you mentioned Selena Gomez, obviously. Got to bring up Justin Bieber, who you segued nicely to. You had a really funny moment with him that went pretty viral back in your Q102 days, involving him and Kim Kardashian. For people who don't remember and are just kind of rummaging through their brain on that moment, I want you to take us through what went down there with the two of them.
So that was pretty funny. It was at our Jingle Ball show, and there was a moment where just before he came to Philadelphia for our show, he was having a little back and forth conversation on Twitter with Kim Kardashian, and he admitted to her, I think, that he had like a crush on her, that he loved her.
Yeah.
So I remember that moment sticking in my head as we led up to the show. And this was funny because Romeo was a part of this decision also. We were thinking, like, how can we make him feel more comfortable? Or what is that we can do to just have some fun, to lighten up the mood a little bit? It's Jingle Ball. And we were like, let's give him a gift. And we were like, okay, so what is that we can give him a gift? It's Christmas, the holiday season. And it just, all of a sudden, we were in our meeting. And I was just like, yo, what if we, like, get him, like, a giant cutout of Kim Kardashian? Because I know he loves her. How awesome would it be if we did that? And it was like, oh my God, boom. So we had to, and I think this idea really came up maybe 2 days before the Jingle Ball show. And we were scrounging around to try to find someone who could print a 5 foot something tall, you know, Kim Kardashian picture that we could wrap up and give to him. So yeah, at the show, you know, after the interview kind of was wrapping up, I was, you know, presenting him just a nice little gift, and he unwrapped a big giant Kim Kardashian. And and it's funny that you mentioned that, because to this day, he hasn't forgot. I've talked to him several times since then, and he doesn't forget it. He's never forgotten.
I'm glad. Good
joke about it. Yeah. I mean, a lot of those kind of things happen with me, where it's like, you know, I had another instance, and we had another really fun interview when One Direction was making their first promo run throughout the United States. And we chose to do, or I chose to do my interview with them with puppies. And we worked with our local adoption agency, and they came and they brought like 3 or 4 puppies. And while we're doing this interview with 1D, you know, they're sitting there holding puppies and singing with puppies. And I'm telling you, I've had so many conversations and just personal hangs with each one of the guys from the group in different occasions. And there is never a time that any of them do not mention the fact that we very first met hanging out with puppies, and, you know, puppies peeing on the carpet, and, you know, oh, we almost adopted this puppy, or like, dude, Max, do you remember that time? I mean, it's just, it's the funniest thing, and it's the most genuine thing, because at the time, it's just like, yo, I'm a guy, you're a guy, you know what I'm saying? I like puppies, you like puppies, let's just, you know, let's do it. And those are those moments that I just really love to have with a lot of these celebrities, because it just allows them to lower the brick wall a little bit and just be human for that little bit of time.
We're all about kind of just taking a slightly different angle to things and approaches on conversations. And that's great, because you know they're going to have 100 ordinary interviews, and they're going to have one with puppies, and they're going to remember that one with puppies. Yeah. I appreciate that.
And I'm talking quite literally, dude, like 15 years later, however long it's been, 10 years, 12 years. I mean, I promise, I've been in pubs with Niall Horan slamming back beers, and we're talking about, you remember that time when that puppy peed on my foot? I'm like, dude, yeah, of course I do.
Yep. Love Niall. He's a big golfer as well, too, which we love talking on the podcast.
Yeah.
Cool guy. Awesome. Yeah. So I guess my one question for you, you've clearly interviewed everyone in the industry. Give us a little teaser to maybe, is there a name that's flying a little under the radar right now, or someone that you've had a conversation with recently who you got to kind of put on more people's radar in the pop music scene right now?
If I would say anyone who is kind of bubbling and who I'm looking forward to the world getting to know a little bit more. She had a pretty amazing, you know, end of 2020. And I think 2021 is going to be pretty big for like Tate McRae. She's an up and coming superstar. That's just like, wow, dude, more talent than I think any one person should have. I mean, her dance career, if anybody really remembers and follows who she is, it goes back to when she was like, you know, 12, 13 years old. But as a musician, she's pretty freaking talented. So I'm really excited for the world to get to know a little bit more about her. Just recently, as we're sitting here chatting, I didn't even realize that this record was going to be as big as it is, but it's a special song. But Olivia Rodrigo, who is a breakout star from the Disney Channel, and she's been a part of High School Musical, the musical, the series. She's got a song right now that is just like, it's called Driver's License. Anybody that knows or's listened, it's,
yep.
I can't even tell you, it's through the roof. But just her, I had the chance to talk to her a while ago. I want to say, man, going back to early, gosh, man, not even last year, I think it was like 2019 when she was hanging out with us in studio, and she had some amazing music even then. So her career is just about ready to skyrocket. And man, there's so many. I mean, and there's probably 15 people who haven't even put their very first song on TikTok yet to blow up that I can't even mention, you know? So, I mean, the game is always changing, it's always evolving, but those are the two that kind of stick out in my mind as as, hey, be on the lookout for them. You know, they're going to be names in the game, for a little while.
Like that. Again, we're with Maxwell iHeartRadio, Z100 in New York as well. Let's take the last 2 minutes of our chat to keep it 100, which I know you like doing in a lot of your conversations. Okay.
Yeah, dude.
So we're going to do a little 2 minute drill version of this. I got about a handful of questions for you. We'll first start off with an easy one though. Well, what's the current hashtag Maxwell approved jam that we need to know about right now?
Wow. Okay. I'm glad you're saying that because I'm about to drop a new addition to the playlist. But I got to say right now, I'm feeling the Olivia Rodrigo driver's license.
Yeah,
for sure. The song is so emotional. It's great.
It is, for real. And then I mentioned it a little while ago. We're big golfers on the podcast. You've done some beers with Niall Horan, who's a big golfer. I'm curious for you, maybe on a 1 to 100 scale, what's your golf game look like these days?
You know what? I can get to a driving range and I can grip it and rip it. Not even gonna lie, it took me a while to learn because I was a baseball player throughout most of my adolescence. But when it comes to like short game, horrible, terrible.
Yeah, man, takes a lot of touch. It's a lifelong progress to get seemingly nowhere with my golf game. So I feel you on that one. And then Max, I know you worked and do some time with Nick Radio as well too. We just had a Nickelodeon NFL playoff game, which was a fun broadcast to watch. There was some slime there, and I know you've gotten slime too. What's it like to get slime? What does that feel and taste like for everyone who wants to know?
Yo, it is the coolest thing ever. It feels like you got sneezed on by a T-Rex. The taste, there really is no taste, believe it or not. But when you talk about what the emotional feeling is like, it's a childhood dream come true. That's the only way that I could put it.
It is. If you're 80s, 90s, anything kid in that generation, you get slimed. You're privileged for sure. I love that.
Yeah.
And then our final question we love to ask everyone. We typically call it our 19th hole question for the golfers that come on. But for the DJs or someone in New York City like yourself, which is just an amazing food city, you have endless options like to go out. If you could take someone who's a guest in town out to a dinner for the night, what kind of dinner and drink are you looking to get them in the Big Apple?
Okay, the Italian food out here is I mean, it's chef's kiss, you know. Yeah. So you're talking about, like, man, if I'm really trying to ball out on them, you know what I'm saying, like maybe I'm taking a girl out on a date and I'm like trying to impress, I'm talking like we'll do maybe like a Cipriani's, which is just like a beautiful, you know what I mean, just the pomp and circumstance that goes along with that. If I'm talking about like a drink, you know, type of a thing, maybe after we leave from Cipriani's, we might, you know, make our way somewhere around the Lower East Side, find a nice little dive bar. The places are endless. You can pop into anyone and find a nice craft cocktail, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, if I'm trying to like top it off with like a little sweet, like a little dessert at the end there, there's a bakery that's one of my favorites that's here in the city. It's called Gooey on the Inside Cookies. This place does cookies the size of your face that will make you want to just curl up and sleep inside a chocolate chip pillow. Like, I'm telling you, like, it's yeah, dude. So there you go. There's so much good food here.
Sweet, delectable. That's amazing stuff right there. I like that. Gooey on the inside. Love it. Thank you, Maxwell, so much for joining. Again, it's Most Requested Live Saturday nights on the iHeartRadio app, 160-something stations and around the world. Looking forward to hearing you more on the air. And best of luck with everything this year in 2021.
Yo, Alex, I can't appreciate it anymore, man. This has just been like the coolest thing, dude. Usually I'm on the other side of these kind of conversations. So you did a phenomenal job. This is super dope. And to anyone who's, you know what I'm saying, a fan of the pod, keep at it because you're crushing it.
That interview with Maxwell from Z100 is brought to you by Desert Fox Golf, the makers of the Phone Caddy. The Phone Caddy is a one-of-a-kind fold holder for golfers designed to mount right onto the golf cart. It works seamlessly with really almost any phone model and Velcros onto the cart in seconds. Keep your yardage and scoring apps at your fingertips, change music, answer calls and texts, and more, all with the Phone Caddy. It's the most functional way to keep your phone safe and ready on the course at all times. And for our listeners, you can save 20% off your purchase with the promo code CourseOfLife. Again, that's 20% off any phone caddy, including their Patriotic line, typically excluded from any deal, with promo code CourseOfLife. Again, that's 20% off your Desert Fox Golf phone caddy with promo code CourseOfLife. It's at DesertFoxGolf.com, promo code CourseOfLife for 20% off. Head on over to DesertFoxGolf.com and get your phone caddy today. And we're back. Great interview there with Maxwell. Love his energy on the radio. You know, I think I'm gonna let you in on a little secret here. I'm sure Alex will agree with me. It's hard to have high energy on the radio all the time.
It is. And like even before we record, like it's like sip a coffee, deep breath, like lock in, like, and for him to do that, you know, night in, night out on Z and all the events he does on camera now as well, too, creating new content in quarantine. It's a busy schedule for Maxwell indeed, but love how he puts it all together and looking forward to doing more with him and Z100 and the whole iHeart crew. And our podcast, by the way, is available on iHeart Radio. So if you're listening right now for the first time, you can go over to the iHeartRadio app and listen there. You can save, subscribe, look at all our archived episodes as well. So check us out on iHeartRadio during commercial breaks with Maxwell and Z100.
Love it. Make sure to rate us and subscribe on whatever podcast app you use. But iHeartRadio, theirs is pretty good. It's pretty good.
It is number one podcast.
Let's talk about the NFL because... Alex, how does it feel to see Tom Brady just continue to roll and win and march his Buccaneers toward the Super Bowl?
I mean, this is my nightmare. I've said this time in and time out. Everyone's laughing now because they're just waiting for me to say that word. My nightmare is now coming true. I said this weeks ago, he's going to go on an improbable playoff run. He's going to mow through Drew Brees. He did. Next up is Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field. No one in the world thinks he's going to win that game. I mean, you feel what's happening here. It's like a snowball going downhill that's hard to stop. I was the most wrong person in the world about Brady and the Bucs. I thought they'd go 7-9. That did not happen. I thought they'd get eliminated in the playoffs early. That did not happen. And now I'm full of regret, remorse, and wondering why we did what we did as Patriots fans.
It's interesting that and you would know this pretty well as well. The Patriots and Brady, even as they kept winning Super Bowls, were the underdog. They liked playing this underdog role. And I'm sure a lot of that Brady is feeding off of this feeling of, again, being an underdog. He's not a favorite.
Yeah, chip on your shoulder. You know, I'm in Tampa now. What makes anyone think I could win the Tampa Bay Bucks? I'm going to show you what makes everyone think I can win with the Tampa Bay Bucks. That's kind of his attitude right now. It's going to be a big test playing in the cold in Green Bay against an Aaron Rodgers team that's pretty hot. But, you know, again, I've been on the other side of this for two decades. Not placing a dollar of my money on the Green Bay Packers next Sunday in that game, because I know exactly what the story looks like. I've been here on the other side for the story for too long. I just know that that's going to be a thriller of an NFC championship game with the Bucs and the Packers to see who goes to the Super Bowl.
We will keep an eye on that. Also over in the AFC, let's talk about the Browns season coming to an end. Was this game stolen from them?
Yes, it slightly was. I mean, and you think about the odds of Mahomes getting concussed and Chad Henne having to walk into the game and be the hero for the Chiefs. To quote the Kevin Garnett quote from winning the Celtics championship, anything is possible. They're already printing the shirts there in Kansas City. Oh, it was quite a miracle for Henne to come through and get that victory for the Chiefs. And now Mahomes' status up in the air for this coming weekend as the Chiefs are going to play against the Buffalo Bills back into the conference championship game for the first time in almost three decades. Your thoughts on Bills Mafia making it to the Final Four?
Oh, I'm all in on Buffalo right now. I am all in on Buffalo, because what would be better than a Buffalo versus Brady Super Bowl?
It would be interesting, because the Bills, that Bills team, right as it stands, has played Tom Brady in a Tom Brady offense forever. It's almost like the most familiar matchup in the world, despite the fact it's the Bucks and the Bills. If that does come to fruition, there's a lot of potential storylines. And then if you just flip it, Mike, you get Aaron Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes. So like, no matter what kind of equation you want to do for who wins these games, you're going to get a fantastically intriguing matchup in this upcoming Super Bowl, not to mention the Super Bowl
is in Tampa Bay. Like, there's all sorts of narrative going on here in the next week based on what happens in these games. So I'm pissed that I'm in the position I'm in as a Patriots fan, but there's a lot to be excited about as an NFL fan right now.
Remind me, no team in the current era where the Super Bowl has been played at a quote unquote neutral site, yeah. No team has played in their home city for the Super Bowl.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. No, right. It hasn't happened. It's been at least 4 or 5 decades. So it's definitely newfound territory. And especially in this type of year, they're going to sell some sort of tickets to Super Bowl, probably about the same capacity they've had at Bucks games, which is in the area of maybe 8,000 to 10,000 people or so. So a limited crowd there. It's going to be a very different vibe for the next few weeks, even as we go into these championship weekend games. But storylines galore in the NFL. Crazy times.
Going to be interesting. We'll keep an eye on it. Let's hashtag always end with food.
Yeah, let's do it. Brought to you by our friends at Saucy, promo code Course of Life to get $5 off your first delivery. Mike, we had a couple of other people use the promo code for Saucy as well too. So we want to shout them out again. $5 off your purchase, 13 major cities and growing. They deliver beer, wine, snacks, ice, mixers, everything to you so you can stay at home and get that delivered safely. Promo code Course of Life, Saucy. January diet, Mike, where are we at? How is your, it's more so meal prep, meal planning going for you at this point? We're halfway through the month.
Yeah. You know, the diet's going pretty well. It's amazing how quickly you can lose weight when you just stop getting bacon, egg and cheese sandwiches and Dunkin' Donuts every morning.
Yes, it is amazing, isn't it? You just take simple things out of your diet that you love to eat and you start losing weight and feeling better. It's a really annoying part of science, isn't it?
I don't know if I'm feeling better. I'm pretty hungry all the time right now, but
it's a different kind of grog in your stomach too. The growls, they just feel a little bit different. They're still there. Definitely. Like, you know, I miss that nighttime snack. It's nice to have the nighttime sweet. It's nice to have bread around a sandwich or just bread with a salad. The simple things that I miss without bread, but I'm holding strong. We got about 12-ish days to go once you guys hear this podcast. So it's the final steps right now. Sober January is getting tougher and tougher every year for me, but I think I'm going to make it through. It's all TBD though. Let's see what happens this weekend with Tom Brady. That might drive me over the edge.
Yeah, you know, I'm surprised that I think a lot of people ended sober January back on January 6th. So proud of you that you're still with it.
They did. I made it through the sedition Wednesday. I've made it through. It could end up being something celebratory later this week, though. We'll see. We'll see how the calendar moves for us. But that's a wrap on this week's Course of Life. Another great episode coming to you next week. So for everyone out there, Michael and myself, have a good week.